The Apostle Paul tells us, as has already been read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that it is not within man to imagine the things which God has prepared for his children. That we cannot imagine them, that they have not entered into the heart of man. And if it were not for the Word of God, none of these things could be understood to any degree. It is hard for us to imagine things we've never experienced. It is hard to imagine what it's like to die, because I've never died, and I've never talked to anyone who's died. It's hard for us to imagine what it's like to die peacefully in our beds. It's hard to imagine what it's like to drown or to die of suffocation, or to be crushed in a car wreck, or to fall off a cliff, because we've never done that. In this lesson, though, I want us to try to imagine the things which are in store for us as God's children. To do that by going to the Word of God and reading the things which are revealed within it, although these things are not revealed within great detail, but to try to imagine, to put ourselves there as if it was actually happening today. And I think this benefits us several ways. Number one, it helps us to remember that these things indeed could happen today. That they are real. It's not just a story that's been made up. It's not a cartoon. It's not a comic book. But these things are real. And these things could happen today. First of all, I want us to try to imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back to take us home with Him. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is what Jesus is going to do. Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Jesus Christ has the power to subject Satan. All things. And by that power, which He is going to exert upon us to change us, to transform us from the humble state in which we live, into the glory which He has now as the Son of God, at the right hand of God, in heaven, worshiped by all the angels. Is this real? It is. Is this going to happen? Yes, it will. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Here speaking of us as Christians who have died with Christ, having been made alive together with Him, Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, that is, when He's uncovered so that we can see Him for who He really is, when He is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Now, brethren, I want us to understand that this day is coming when Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven. Every eye will see, every knee shall bow. And the power which He has to subject all things to Himself that has been given to Him by God Almighty, this power will be exerted upon you. You personally will experience it to be changed into the person you will be for eternity. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that happening today? turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Thessalonians, and I want us to look at the information that Paul gives to these brethren and to us in the writing of the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed, there's that word revealed again, revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now, those of us who are Christians, faithful to God, this is not speaking of some destruction which we will experience ourselves, because we do know God and we do obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want us to realize when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again that it is going to be with this power, and it is going to be as the great trump sounds and as the angels from heaven accompany Him. We are going to see this and we are going to witness this. It could be today. Can you imagine? Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here Paul is giving us information which relates more to us as Christians. And this is what he says, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? Then because of that, this is what you know. Even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, so that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Can you imagine that could happen today? You may not make it home for lunch today. Can you see this happening? The trump, the shout of the archangel as Jesus Christ comes back with angels and flaming fire, bringing retribution on those who do not know God and have not obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, but to us who are faithful Christians. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Let me tell you something. If this happened today, the Lord came back, we would rise up to be with Him today. Can you imagine that? In all of His glory, as He exerts His power to transform us, that could be today. That could be before this hour is out. I may never see Beth, Andrea, and Dawn again, but I'll see them when the Lord comes back. They may not make it back from their trip. I may see them minutes from now in the sky with the Lord. Is this real to you? Is it real to you? And think about our loved ones who have gone on before us. We could be back with them any minute. Can you imagine that? What a day. Let's talk about standing before God in judgment. Turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And here we have Isaiah standing before God, who is upon His throne. And this gives us just a little glimpse into what it's going to be like to see God and to stand before Him. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Can you imagine standing before the throne of God? The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, notice Isaiah's reaction. And what is your reaction going to be when you see God for the first time? "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Of course, things are going to be different. We're going to be in heaven. We're clean, we're white, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. But can you imagine, as Isaiah was beside of himself, to see God in this way, very veiled, very skewed, but when we shall see him face to face, can you imagine? Turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? It's appointed for man to die once, then comes the judgment. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things which we've done in the body, whether good or bad, even those things which are secret. And can you imagine that day, Revelation chapter 20 and beginning in verse 11, John's vision. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. For I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened." Can you see? Does God need a book? No, God doesn't need a book. But this is a picture for us, that all of these things are coming to the remembrance of God. The books are open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Let me ask you this. Do you think we'll see those from the presence of God be cast away? Perhaps. Judgment begins with the house of God. Perhaps. Can you imagine what it would be like to see those who had not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ as they are thrust from the presence of God to spend eternity in hell? What a sad, sad day. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." That is the place where the devil had already been cast. I'll tell you something else that's hard to imagine. That's living with the devil forever. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what will be going on in hell? You know, the devil has a fun, great, wonderful time in tormenting people. Can you imagine how much fun he's going to have in hell? And that way of thinking of it. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, looking forward to this time when the Lord comes back, this earth ceases to exist, when all go before God for judgment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those do not escape when they refuse him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven." And his voice shook the earth then. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now let me tell you something, brethren. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are members of the kingdom of God. That kingdom cannot be shaken. By the way, that's the only kingdom that cannot be shaken and destroyed. We are members of the kingdom that cannot be shaken and destroyed. Verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Brethren, we live in that kingdom that cannot be shaken. All else will be shook. All else will be destroyed. God will consume it with fire. Even this earth will be consumed with fire. Can you imagine? Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You know, it's a scary thing to stand before God, to stand before His throne, to be judged for the things which we've done, good and evil and secret. All your secrets will be revealed. But as a Christian, it's not scary anymore. Don't need to worry about it. Don't need to be afraid of it. As a matter of fact, we can eagerly await the day to stand before Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:17, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. It's not scary for Christians. We don't dread it as Christians. We eagerly anticipate it as Christians. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect fear, perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ, loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Confident to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. It's not going to be a scary thing. It's not going to be a fearful thing. It's not going to be a dreaded thing. It's going to be a great thing. It's going to be a wonderful thing to stand before the one who died for us for the very first time, loving Him with all of our heart. And I don't know if I'll be able to say anything on that day, but I hope I'm permitted to speak and for the first time tell Jesus Christ face to face, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Gives me goosebumps just thinking about it up here. Skin of my face is tingling. Can you imagine? Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Can you imagine living in heaven for eternity? As we already read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that it's not within man to know these things, that we just can't imagine them. It's just so great and it's so wonderful what God has in store for us, that just man with all of his wisdom and with all of his smarts, man can't even begin to comprehend how wonderful heaven is. Some of this is revealed within the Word of God, but only little bits and pieces. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about one, I believe the Apostle Paul is talking about himself here, who entered into paradise and he saw things there. It says in verse 4, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. And he was given a thorn in his flesh, so that he was humbled, so that his body was buffeted. Why? I believe in part it's because he saw these things, he heard these things, which is unlawful even to repeat. Now we have the book of Revelation. We'll look there at some more things in just a moment. We have the book of Revelation, and some of these are symbolically given to us and written down, but not in the way Paul had seen and experienced. It was unlawful for him to just come out point blank and tell us what it's like. So you take what we know today and what we can understand today and what we can imagine this morning about Jesus returning in judgment and going to heaven, and that does not begin to tip the iceberg. That's not one small inkling of what it's really going to be like. Now, isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 4. Here in John's vision, we have a throne scene of God and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, upon the throne of God. Now remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that it's not lawful to explicitly explain these things. So here we have just a little inkling of it. And your imagination, my imagination today, is just a small little inkling of what it's really going to be like. Multiply it exponentially. Chapter 4, verse 1, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things." Skip over to verse 11. "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty." Can you imagine such praise and glory that is occurring now? And there's no reason to think that it's going to cease once we are there. "To the Almighty who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders." Now, are there literally 24 elders in heaven? Sort of seems not. But this is the point. When praise and glory is given to God, those who are there fall in worship. "To Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Can you imagine being one in the great chorus to worship God our Father and Christ our Savior in heaven for eternity? Can you imagine? Turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 21. And we will not take time to go through all of this chapter, but just to pull out a couple of things. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Remember in chapter 20, verse 15, here we had the judgment, and those whose names were not written into the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But those whose names were written in the book of life, they entered into the city of God as members of the Lamb's bride. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be, will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these things are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And then John goes into a lengthy symbolic description of this city, the eternal city of God, of all its majesty and all its splendor, foundations and gates and walls of the greatest jewels known to man. In verse 16, the city is laid out as a square, and its length and its gate as the width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles, its length and width and height are equal. This is a city with walls, 1,500 miles long and wide. How big is that, by the way? 1,500 miles. Long and wide, 2,250,000 square miles. This is about two-thirds of the size of the United States, larger than many countries that exist today. Talking about a city. To the people who are living at this time, who are living in Asia and Jerusalem and other places such as that, how big would this city have been? Compared to Tampa, how big is it? This city is 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. 3,375,000,000. If it had floors, 10 feet between each floor, could you imagine walking up 792 floors? 792,000 floors. Can you imagine how high up that is? How high do you think this International Space Station is above the Earth right now? I looked it up. I looked up a lot of sources. 220 miles. Can you imagine a city that goes up 1,500 miles? How many times higher is that than the International Space Station today? Can you imagine that? What is the point of all of this? Who can imagine a city two-thirds the size of the United States that goes into the air 1,500 miles that has 792,000 floors? Who can imagine that? Imagine taking an elevator up there. We can't. We really can't. Streets made of gold. Who can imagine that? Heaven is going to be so incredible that we really can't begin to imagine it. And what we can imagine is just one small little itty-bitty piece of the way it's going to be. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. I want to see the face of Jesus Christ more than anything this world has to offer. How about you? How about you? And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. That's what I want. How awesome is heaven? How awesome is heaven? Heaven is so incredible that Jesus left the throne of God to come down here so that you could go. PowerPoint has a typo, by the way. You probably figured that out already. It's Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 7. Speaking of Christ, verse 6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Let me ask you something. If heaven is so incredible that Jesus Christ would leave the throne of God, empty himself of equality with God, just so you could go. How incredible is that place? How incredible is that place? Heaven is so awesome. Again, another typo. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you could go to heaven, how incredible is that place? If God would send his Son from heaven to come to earth, live as a bondservant, and die upon a cross, how great a place do you think he would make for Jesus to come back to with all of his disciples? Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Speaking of the Apostle Paul. His persecution, tribulations, hardships. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. If anyone would like to demonstrate being scourged after our service is over, let me know. That's a hard thing to take. To be scourged. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. And having been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among the brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Now, let me ask you something. Paul is the one, I believe, as we've already talked about, chapter 12, is the one who went to paradise, who saw the things that are unlawful to be expressed here upon the earth. And he was willing to go through all of that. How great do you think that place is? How great do you think that place was? That place is. I'm going to tell you something. It would have to be really good for me to go through all that. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 19. This is a story of the crucifixion of Jesus, and there near the end, he looked and he saw his mother. And he gave his mother into the hands of the Apostle John for him to take care of her. Verse 26, woman, behold your son. Verse 27, then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour the disciple took her into his own household. Now I want us to understand, Jesus' mother was at the cross. Here he was dying upon the cross. In all the pain, all the torment, with all the torture. And she didn't say anything. Let me ask you something. What mother is going to stand there and watch her son be crucified if what he says is not true? Can you imagine how awesome heaven is? So awesome that God would send his son to earth to die on the cross, and a mother would stand and watch. That's how awesome heaven is. More awesome than I can begin to imagine. More awesome than I can begin to imagine. So when we get tied up in this world, we think about all the things in this world and everything that we want and everything that may draw us away from God, just start doing a little comparison. And you'll soon be reminded of the fact that there is no comparison, that you're working for and you're striving for something that doesn't even compare to anything on this earth, that doesn't compare to one material possession, that doesn't compare to any amount of money, that doesn't compare to any job, doesn't compare to any social standing or stature, it doesn't compare to anything. Stay in your priorities to get the prize you truly are working for and striving for and reaching for, that God will give to you one day. And that is a home in heaven. And that day could be today. Do you realize that? That day could be today. Today is the day of salvation. Live as if it is today. Every day. We extend the gospel invitation. 276. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come today, and if you would not be with him, to go home with him, and to live with him forever, you can obey Jesus Christ today and change all of that by rendering simple obedience to the commands of Jesus, to believe in him, repent of your sins, confess that he is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you would know that if Jesus Christ came back today, you would be in the grand reunion of the saints, not in those who are left behind and tormented by angels in flaming fire. And that invitation is extended to you today. If we can help you in any way, won't you step to the front this morning as we stand and sing.